Okay, we have to order today afternoon.
Yes.
Amazon Prime. Shui, I'm going to ask me, of course. I'm going to ask him to go look at the videotape right over there. Curious who will take it. Okay. Page 270, we have the Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes says, Te alamna, may they be silenced. The Sivsei Sheker, the lifts of Sheker, Hadoyres al Tzadik Asak, who speak about the Tzadik Asak, the Ga'ava, with arrogance, Vavuz. Who is the Tzadik Asak, Hashem? The Tzadik from days of old. We have to compile, it's an emergency mayor, we have to compile a list of all the different titles of Hashem. Hashem throughout Tanakh has so many different titles. We learned yesterday in Chumash, Elokei Horuchos, L'chol Basar. Hashem is called, in the sixth parasha, and in parashas Pinchas. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu calls Hashem, he addresses Hashem with the title, Hashem is Elokei Horuchos, L'chol Basar. The God of spirits of all flesh. And it's subject to interpretation of what it means. One pshat is it means that Hashem is, he knows the person's machashava. So Hashem knows the person's thoughts. Hashem, and over here we have a new term for Hashem. Hashem is the tzaddik or sak. Hashem is the tzaddik. Asak means old. Asak from time immemorial. That the Rasha speaks about Hashem with gaiva and vuz. Two terms. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudah Stavin Pasuk Yutes. The Mitzudah Stavin Pasuk Yutes. Old. Okay, I see you over here in the Mitzudah. Okay. There are different translations. We'll see. Over in the Mitzudah Sion it says Chozok v'koshe. Okay, correct. But there's another interpretation that Chazak means old. What does it say in your translation? Yeah.
It says those that speak against the righteous man falsely.
The righteous man.
That's the
Tzadik.
Falsely.
Falsely. Wow. Okay, that's a whole new translation. What?
Arrogant.
No, that's the next words. Begava vavuz. Arrogance and despise.
Pride and vavuz contempt.
They say the how they translate the beginning. Translate the beginning of the pasuk. One more time.
That word appears
elsewhere.
From the beginning of the pasuk. Amas and say shoker. Let them be muted. The lying lips.
The lying. We give lying lips here.
I go gross and speak. These lips that speak should be muted. Al-Sadiq Asak, arrogantly against the righteous.
So wait, translate those words. Translate the words. Sadiq Asak, what does it say? Translation.
Arrogantly.
No, yes. That's Gaiva. That's the next word.
No, not what he said.
This Masuda. Asak is the lesson of Atik, right?
Gaiva is pride, and Vavuz is contempt.
Right. Asak is arrogance, Gaiva is pride, and Vuz is contempt.
Yeah.
So there are already three translations here.
Okay. Shir Shahil Rubidin. Ad Masai Rishayim Hashem, Ad Masai Rishayim Ya'lozu, Ya'biu Yadabru Asak.
Falsehood. Asak is falsehood. Atiki, may I think of the word Atik Yamin? Atik. Atik Yamin means old. With a yud. Atik. Let's see what this is over here. Let's read the words over there. The Mitzvah says Asak means Chazak v'Koshev. The Mitzvah learned the word Asak means strong. Look at the Mitzvah's Dove. Mitzvah's Dove, Mitzvah's Pasuk Yates. It's proper that the lips of falsehood should be silenced. That's all he says. Rashi pasuk. Now let's read the next pasuk. Let's read two pasukim together because Rashi puts them together. Ma rav tuv chasher tzafanta li re'echa. This is the makar of tzafun. This is one of the big ideas in Pei the Lel of the Seder. We have tzafun. We have the 15 simanim in the Haggadah. And the last simon is tzafun. Tzafun means to be put. You put away the matzah. You hide
hidden,
it away.
Hidden away.
So here it says ma rav tuvcha. How much more rav tuvcha? How much good is asher tzafanta, which you have put away, li re'echa for those who fear you. Po'alta, you have acted, you have sprung into action, you have done deeds, good deeds, lachosim bach, for those that seek refuge in you. For the people that have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is their advocate. And not only he is their advocate, he actually performs. He comes to their rescue. He's a poel. He does actions.
You have worked.
You have worked on their behalf. Hashem is their worker. For those people that lachosim bach, neged b'nei Adam, in the presence of mankind. Let us see the mitzvah of Pasuk Chof, Morav. Ma me'oid rav hatov hatov asher tzofanto lo seis liriecha. How much good is put away for those who fear you? The good is not in this world. The blessing, the reward comes in the next world, in olam haba, in the next world. The af harbe toive pa'alto la'achis and bach neged bnei adam, and you have worked very hard for those that seek refuge in you. Neged bnei adam, it's a lemar. Asher kol Adam chazu bo, and man, people take notice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem works on behalf of these people. Asher kol Adam chazu, but people will see what you have done, Hashem. Okay, now let's see much more in a moment. Let's first see what it says in the Rashi. Rashi pasachav chaf aleph. It says. Pasuk Yutes, Chaf and Chaf Aleph, which may be one more Pasuk. So let's do one more Pasuk before we wrap this all up together. Let's go to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Tastirein b'seiser ponecha. We're describing over here in the next world. The next world, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is going to take the tzaddikim and he's going to conceal them in. He's going to close them up, to shelter them b'seiser ponecha. In the concealment of your ponim, may ruchse ish titzbenem bisuka may riv li shol nos. Let's see the mitzvahs. Pasuk of aleph, may ruchse inyan gavos, arrogance. From the arrogance of man, hide them, protect them. V'chein, I'm reading over here in the mitzvahs David, now on page 273 in the mitzvahs David. Tasti rain ki histartam b'seser haba'a miponecha. You, Hashem, have concealed them in the secretness that comes from before you. This is a very unusual expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it radiates from Hashem's ponim, concealment. There is some type of glow which comes forth from Hashem, and in that light, tzaddikim are able to shelter. The radiance that comes forth from before Hashem, from the pun of Hashem, is a location, is a place of shelter for the righteous. Ki his dartam, you have concealed them, b'seiser, in a location of concealment, habo'o miponecha, that comes from before you. Lihiyois nistarim migavhus kol ish rasha, to be sheltered from arrogance. Meriv, mei ha meriva haba, from the quarreling that comes from these wicked people, may ha le shoynois, from the tongues of the wicked people. It's a very deep, deep concept. And that is gaiva, being in the presence. You also have this experience. Everyone has the experience. When you're in the presence of a person who is so arrogant, it's painful. You have that experience, you talk to a person, you deal with a person, and the person is just so arrogant. He has such a sense, such a belief of his importance. It's just painful to be in his presence. And David HaMelech over here is saying, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this world, there are really crazy nutcases in this world who really hold from themselves that they're God. They mamash think that they're God. I've had this experience with certain people. They really, or they're very abusive in their power. It's like, I'm in charge here. And I will do to you whatever I want, because I'm the boss, and there's no one is at the top of me. I have the authority. I have the power. It's gaiva. And when you're in their presence, their attitude, and their frame of mind, which just comes forth through their body language and their words, it's painful. And Hashem says to David, or David is being mispalo, that shelter the tzaddikim from coming into contact with the arrogant people. That is Gehenim. That is that itself is Gehenim on this world, and certainly whatever the other in the next world. That itself is a form of Gehinom of Gehenim to be in their presence. Furthermore, quarreling. You ever in a location where there's fighting? This is also everyone certainly has experienced. You're in a environment where there's fighting going on, and you have nothing to do with it. But the tension in the air between the two different parties that are at each other's throats, it just creates a tension in the room that people who have nothing to do with this, it's uncomfortable to be in that location. Okay, this is something which yeah, in a room there are two people who intensely hate each other. Go to a wedding. I saw this a few times. There's the first, I know, a big factor, big bucks. Big money, big fight, Dini Torah, you name it, or galore, big machlokes. And both of the people happen to be at the wedding because they're related, one from one side, one from the other side. And, you know, they have to be. And I don't know if they expect the other person to be there. And they have to behave nicely, not make a scene. But yet everyone knows these two people don't mix. So when it comes to the dancing, so when this guy's dancing, the other one's very careful to make sure he doesn't go in that circle. By the chuppah, they don't sit near each other. And the people who know, and then when it gets really ugly, is when it's not just two people. There are two people, and each person has his supporters, his chassidim. And when there is friction between the two machanas, the machane, good morning, the machane of A and the machane of B. So it's painful. It's painful for a tzaddik to be in such an environment. And David HaMelech is being mispalo, save me from the riv. Okay, here, everybody said please. From the riv of the Lashonites, the quarreling of the tongues. It is not comfortable to be in the presence of such people. There we have two psukim. Let's see Rashi. We'll go into a little more detail in a moment. First, see Rashi. Ma Rav Tuvcha. How much good? Yodati, I know. Ki le'olam haba yesochar tov l'riach. I know that in the next world, in olam haba, there will be sochar tov l'riach. It will be a great reward for those who fear you. Nevertheless, in this world, where the wicked they surround them, ani mispalel aleihem. I know that in the next world, they're not going to be subject to the suffering of the wicked people. But in this world, where the wicked people have the ability to surround and to torment the righteous people, hispalel aleihem shetastireim. So according to Rashi, Rashi seems to be saying something. It's not really arguing on the mitzugos, but he says something very deep. That this whole pasuk is referring to this world. In this world, the tzaddikim need to be sheltered from the wicked people. In the next world, it is not necessary, because in the next world, the tzaddikim certainly are not going to have anything to do with the wicked people. But in this world, the rishonim are able to travel around, and they can harass and harm the tzaddikim. So in this world, shelter them. This term, yastireu b'tzel, you know, this word yastireu, typically in our minds, it brings up the image of the next world. Because most of the psukim, when you have this type of expression of yastireu b'sefer k'nafof lo'olamim, b'sefer k'nafof lo'olamim, this expression typically is something which is expressed in other psukim in Nach, referring to the next world, the spiritual world. Yet here Rashi says that in the context of this pasuk, that's not what it means. It refers to this world. In this world, there are Rishoyim, we are harming, harassing tzaddikim, and David is praying that in this world, they should be sheltered and not have the bad fortune of coming in contact with these wicked people. The next words of Rashi are, may ruchse. Ruchse again means it's another word for arrogance. Ruchse, there are many words for arrogance. Gaiva, sheketz. Okay, it's a word which means arrogance. What is the etymology of this word? Ish mechibure rishoim. Now, maybe Rashi disagrees with that translation. Let's read what Rashi says. Mechibure rishoim, from being attached to the wicked. hamis kasherim yachad to conspire kesher. Yeah, that word in Sefer Melachim a lot. A kesher. What is a kesher?
Yeah,
a conspiracy. A coup. A conspiracy. People who get together. They organize together to.
A group of Rishon.
What does the word may ruch say? Conspire. Rashi appears to disagree with the Mitzudas. Whereas the Mitzudas translate the word Meiruch say Miloshnov arrogance, and he cites a pasuk to support himself in the Mitzudas Sim where it says V'chein V'hori Chosim Levika. The Rechosim Levika means the hills, the high points of a valley. A valley typically is on a low level, but there are some bumps in the road. There are some bumps, the Rechasim Levika, the bumps in the valley. And that means, in that context, it means arrogance. And yet Rashi disagrees. And Rashi says, what it means over here is Hamiskashim, the word over here means a kesher, a conspiracy. A conspiracy, Yachad Lehara Lohem, and David is bringing the spell, shelter them, B'seiser Panecha, shelter me ruchsei ish from the conspiracies, from the group of people who conspire a coup. What's a better word? Well, sometimes you know, a coalition, or no, like the deep state, the deep state, Michal, the deep state. Save me from these conspirators who lurk out there. So let's review the three psukim together. Okay, let's review one more time. Pasuk Yitzchak, Chaf and Chaf Aleph. David is mispalo that the wicked people should be silenced. Te olamna sifsei sheker hadoivrois, may they be silenced. The lips of the people, the lips of falsehood, who speak on the tzaddik osok falsehood. Okay, so the tzaddik in this context refers to first the people, to human beings.
It seems like switching back and forth in these psukim. Who is being addressed here?
Okay, that's very common. We have that issue very, very often. We're going back, but in this pasuk, David is, according to the Mitzvah, David, at least we're referring over here to David is the speaker. And David is referring to the wicked people. The wicked people they are called over here in this pasuk, people who have words, lips of falsehood. What do they do with lips of falsehood? They are divrei, they speak al tzaddik, osok, falsehood. We have two words in this expression according to the Mitzvah that mean basically the same thing. Sheker and osok. So the lips of sheker, who speak on the tzaddik osok, lies with the gava vavus, with arrogance and with disdain. And then David switches, protect these. David says, silence the wicked who speak upon the righteous lies, and shelter the righteous. More rav tuvicha, how much good asher tzafanta li reyecha, have you put away in hiding, in concealment for those who fear you? Po'alta. You have to repeat the words ma rav tuvcha. The words ma rav tuvcha are meant here to be repeated. How much good po'alta have you, Hashem, done lachoy simbach for those people who trust in you? Meged b'nei adam in front of the entire world. The whole world is watching, and if you study Hashem's ways, you will discover that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done great, that Hashem has put away a lot of good, and has done a lot of good for the people who are the tzaddikim, neged, in public. It's neged, it's public, it is transparency. It's on the record. It's an open book. It's available for the masses to see all the good things that Hashem has done for man, neged neod, for the tzaddikim. And now he goes on to say, and then Hashem says, now he's mispalel, tasti rein b'sei seponecha, hide them, conceal them, meruches say ish, Either it means according to the mitzudos from the arrogance of man. Okay, it's painful to be in the presence of arrogant people. Titzpenem bisuka, shelter them in a abode, in some type of shelter. Meiriv lishonais, from lips that speak words of fighting words, lips that are only used to say words which brings about quarrels, brings about lashon hara, fighting, and okay, so this is, here is what it says over here in this pasuk. Now let's see over here what it says in, let's do maybe the Likute Shas, because the Likute Shas, just we'll jump to something very quickly, because most of the Ma'ariv Chazal, what it says over in the Mefarshim, really is drawn from what it says here in the Ma'ariv Chazal on the bottom, page 270. Okay, we'll just not gonna do everything, we'll just work through something, because I really will maybe want to finish up today. Okay, so we'll just touch upon some things. We'll just go through very, very quickly. We'll see what we find pleasure in. Page 270 on the bottom. On the bottom, you test. There's a lot of stuff here. We're going to go quickly. Te'alamdo sifse sheka deiris al tzadik osak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu David is being mispallel. Hashem says to Hashem. David says to Hashem. Hashem, please silence the wicked. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Kol mit sheyesh le'mos ha'mal v'ostam shloi be'edim o'yver mishum. Listen, even lo yisitin mirshom. Is a halacha that is categorically forbidden to lend a person money without witnesses. Right. People are nichshol in this halacha many, many times. You're not allowed to lend a person money. People forget, and then they don't pay back. And it's a terrible avera when a person does not pay back a loan. So you have to have witnesses in order, and then if the person does come to collect, you owe me money, so the witnesses, so the person will say, I pay you, what are you talking about? Don't leave any stone unturned. You never know what's going to be down the line. You always, 95% of all Dinei Torah and all ugly fights is because that when you established your relationship, you trusted each other and did not put every single thing down in writing. If it's not in writing, and if you don't clearly define your role and exactly how much money you're going to get, what exactly the rules of engagement, it is a recipe for disaster. And even though now, oh, we're such good friends, and you know, everything is so nice, that's not life. Things change very quickly, and then everyone wants what they're entitled to, and if there were nothing was put in on writing, it's going to get ugly. So therefore, the Gemara already knew this. The Gemara says, anyone that lends friend money and does not specify with witnesses to clearly define the loan, he's over lifnei iver leisitei mirshu reshloka shemar. Worse, goyreim kilolo liatzma. He's going to cause himself to be cursed. Why? What's going to happen? So over here, the editor of this edition has inserted his perish, because when you're going to go and demand that you get paid back, and the borrower is going to deny, there's no shtar denial, lie. Yikalu yisoshem esheker al odom tzadik. The lender, the borrower, will curse the lender. What chutzpah do you have to come and demand from me to give you money? I never borrowed from you money. You certainly did borrow. And then the borrower is going to curse the lender. So what are you going to say? You're going to say that he doesn't deserve the curse. He does not deserve the curse because he truly did lend the money. And that is a very, very painful concept. Even though a person does not deserve a curse, if the curse is made, the curse takes effect to some degree. How does that work in Shemayim? I have no idea. But that's what it says. He's goyreim klololi atzmai. Look at again the editor's words. Kishayavai litvayachav, when the person is going to collect his debt, the halayva, the borrower, will deny. Not only will he deny, yikadalu esai, he will curse him. How dare you demand from me money? Sha'imer sheker, he will deny. He'll say, I don't owe you any money. That's a sheker. You owe the money. Al adam tzaddik, and the lender is a tzaddik. So the person is causing that someone else will curse him, all because he did not lend money with witnesses. Shenemar had, and we quote this pasuk. Te'olamna sifse sheker hadoivris al tzadik osak. So he quotes this pasuk as referring to this story. Okay, next. Rav says, Te'olamna no sifse sheker, Te'olamna koilu sholosh l'shoros elu. Yis chorshon, yis barchon, and yish datkan. Three words. What are these three words? The Gemara explains. The Gemara explains the three words. Yis chorshon, it means silence. K'mo di'ad amar. V'yomer Hashem, a love me some pair lashon of a cheresh. That's the daf yomi now. Those are daf yomi. Yeah. Daf yomi is all about the cheresh and the chereshes. Okay, so the word cheresh means a deaf mute. So we know this is a complicated kind. This the sugi is a.
Means deaf, not mute.
So that's you're saying very good. So that's the question. What is it, when the Gemara and the Mishnayos use the word cheresh? It usually means mute, a person that does not have the ability to speak. And it means he doesn't have intelligence. Why does he not have the ability to speak? Because he lacks intelligence. Why? Because he doesn't hear. A person who does not hear, at least certainly in the time of Chazal, they did not get an education. Today, Baruch Hashem, there are techniques. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, is deaf. There are techniques in how you're able to communicate with them and how you're able...
Right there.
What?
You're
an
expert right now.
Oh.
The cheresh of the Gemara is somebody who cannot hear and totally...
A deaf mute.
But accurate what you said.
And the focus... Even though it starts off, the problem begins with hearing. That's the shirish. And the truth is, a person that's deaf can speak. A person that's deaf does have the ability to speak. It's just that because he is deaf, that is an impediment in his gaining intelligence to learn how to speak. So when the Gemara says the word chirish, more often than not, the issue is dibur. Oh, but the word cheresh means hearing. You're right. There are many such things like this. We're using in the vocabulary, we're saying a word which means they lack the ability to hear. But in the context that the Gemara is using the word cheresh, more often than not, it means this person cannot speak. That's the problem with chalitza. Let's say a yavama who needs to do chalitza. Part of the process is, and the Yavam as well, is to say words. Lo ovo yab mi. I don't want to do yibam. The woman has to say to the man after she pulls off his shoe and spits, Kocho ye'ose lo ish asher lo yivne es beis ochiv.
Does she have to be able to, the person has to be able to hear what they say? That's the question.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Someone who loses their hearing as an adult knows how to speak.
Oh, okay, that's a different. You're right, exactly. So that's very good. So is that person called a cheresh in the Gemara's terminology? Not necessarily. There are many different contexts, but more often than not, when the Gemara uses the word cheresh, the issue is speech. And what? Speech. But that's not what cheresh means. Cheresh means someone who is deaf. The answer is, the term deaf is representing where the root of why this person is unable to speak. Because he was deaf, and in time of the Gemara there was no technology, they didn't have the sophistication, the technology in order to communicate with people and teach them how to speak. So the word cheresh is the root of the problem. And the result is the inability to speak. A yavam or yavama, that's a cheresh, it's not because they can't hear. The problem is they can't speak. And part of the process demands that they say, Kocha ye'ose lo ish asher lo yivne space ochiv. The ishot has to say lo ovo yami. And there's another issue.
Excuse me, but... In the Gemara and Gittin, in terms of it gets into the whole thing of sign language, even, because if it says about getting a divorce for somebody who's a chayr,
that's a divorce.
Yeah. In other words, so what is the problem? So they, if does the person understand the process that they're going through? So they even speculate in the Gemara in terms of sign language. Do they understand?
Yes, every case is different.
To affect a divorce, sign language might help.
Oh, for a divorce? Absolutely. For a divorce, absolutely.
So it's the fact that they can't hear. You want to know that they heard. So the sign language helps them to at least establish the fact that they understand what's going on.
Yes. Okay, so that's true, because by divorce, there's no din of amira.
And here it's talking about cheres shoyte v'katan. That's all the...
There's another issue. There's a second issue. Now, one thing at a time. Often, when it says what cheresh in the Gemara and the Mishnah refers to the inability to speak, definitely saying over here, and this is Sman Chazal. Come on, 1 second. And there's another very major issue. A cheresh, because a person does not have the ability to hear, it's tragic that he never develops. His mind never develops intelligence. It's a handicap. If he would just turn on the hearing, his mind is active, he would become a very wise man. But because this person did not have the ability to hear, and he was neglected in society. We're not discussing his inability to hear. We're not discussing his inability to speak. We're discussing his intelligence.
That's why nowadays, even elderly people, it's very important for them, if they can't hear, to have hearing aids, is that because they'll become socially.
If you can't hear, that's a social issue. That's a social issue. But this is a matter of das.
Intelligence also.
Das. Knowledge. A shaita. A cheresh. A person that's deaf has the status often in the Gemara as a shaita. Or as a katan. What's the problem of a katan? He doesn't have intelligence. A shaita certainly does not have intelligence. A cheresh really has the brains. It's just that because it was never developed. So he remains in the status of a shaita. A cheresh basically is a shaita. So we're using a word that refers to hearing. But the Gemara's application is nothing to do with hearing. It has to do with an inability to speak and a lack of intelligence. Now, today, Baruch Hashem, today there's been enormous advancement in these principles, these concepts.
The cochlear implant is a nes nigla. It's not even nes nister. It's extraordinary.
What are you referring to?
Hmm?
What do you say?
The cochlear implant.
Oh yeah. Okay. Wait. The cochlear implant. That's hearing. That's hearing mamish.
Yeah.
That's hearing mamish.
Well, that's also a machlokes. If which is closer to hearing? Is the hearing aid closer to hearing, or is a cochlear implant closer?
So what
are
you saying?
Well, Rabbi Shaptov, the safer I gave you, he goes through the whole thing. The hearing aid is just like a microphone.
Right.
The cochlear
bypassed the whole thing. Right.
Goes right into the brain.
Yeah, right. And the person is hearing through a computer. And it's amazing. But there are still some people who are not eligible for a cochlear implant. Very few, but there are definitely people like that for whatever reason, and they resort to sign language. But there's a very famous story. It's brought down by the Ksav Seifer. It was an amazing story. He once visited a deaf school, and it was a Goyish school, a very progressive deaf school. It must have been that he had Baal Batim who had their children there. There used to be Rabbi Jachtov told me, it used to be that they put the deaf people with people who were put them in the same group.
It's true.
And this school separated them. This school put the deaf people alone. And that was a tremendous step forward. And he met the deaf kids, and he says over there, it's in the tshuva of the Ksav Seifer. He was so impressed with the deaf kids, he went over to the headmaster, he gave him money, and he told them to buy all the boys' filling. So, but the point is, according to the Ksav Seifer, so it's totally in their intelligence. That's what all the deaf people are saying upon. But you have to be honest. there are some people who argue. I know the Tzemach Tzedek does, and somebody else, he argues. And they hold, no, it's a lawful motion we see now. So I guess Rabbi Shasta Tuppets, let's say a Rosh Hashiva, he walks out of his house, God forbid, like a brick falls on his head, right? And he becomes a Chayrish. Would he be considered a Chayrish? So he said, yes, one to those months, even though he has a Seichel. Being a Chayrish, not being able to hear. Now again, most deaf people also, they do have some sort of hearing or speech, but not being able to hear or not being able to speak makes you a Chayrish despite your ability to think and to know.
I don't think we pass like that.
No.
We don't pass like that.
But I will tell you, a number of times I have officiated by Gittin, between deaf people, by the, what's the best name? The OU, what's that best
RCA?
Name? Yeah. A number of times. And sometimes big Rabban would come down.
You mean as an interpreter?
Yeah, I come down as an interpreter. Yes. And what they do is they give the deaf people two gittin. They give them a regular get, and they give them the get of a chayrish.
A get of a chayrish.
I remember they asked the deaf people all different kinds of questions, and everything. But they're still very, very afraid. They're still very, very afraid, and they give them two gittin.
Is a special get for a chayrish?
Yes. Also, I believe there's a special. By Kedusha, there's a special for a Chayrish.
Yes, a special nusach for a Chayrish?
Yes, definitely, yes. And I forget his name, he writes very good, he's a big guy. He's done so many, he knows my mind. He knows both my mind. And very fascinating to watch. And they will ask him all the kinds of questions and everything, and they want to see. They have das, but they're very afraid. Yeah, so they give them both.
Would you say the best thing for them? Best thing.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Okay, so let's see what it says. Let's see what it says over here. Okay. Okay, so let's go back over to the Zman Chazal. The Zman Chazal over here says, okay, it's on page, it's on page 270, let's go back over to the Zman Chazal. Rav Amar, we're going around this, Te'al Te'olamna Sifse Shoker. Okay, so what is this word over here, Te'olamna? So again, there are three different translations. This is a Yerushalmi, similarly. Three different translations for the word yis, this for this word. We simply translate it as an Elaine. Elaine means a deaf mute, someone that cannot speak. Like Hashem said to Moshe, mi som pe li Elaine. Te'olam no sif se shoker, te'olam no kodol sholosh toshonos elu, yischorshon. Three different words is yischorshon. Yischorshon means a cherish. That's the first word. The second one is yisporchon. We'll get that in a second. The third word is yishtatkon. Yischorshon, we just said, kumo de'ar amar. Vayam Hashem elav. Hashem said to Moshe, mi som pe la'odam. Who gave a man a mouth? O mi yosum Elaine, O Chayresh. So in this context of this word Elaine, Elaine means a person that cannot speak. So when it says in this pasuk Te'olamna, it means silence. David is praying, Hashem, remove from the wicked their ability to speak. Next. Shamina, so therefore we see over here, Shamina de Elaim Yoiser Mecheresh. You see over here, we say even more in this pasuk, that the Elaim is more than a Cheresh. How do you see that? How do you see that in this pasuk over here? Mi som pe lo adam, o mi yosum Elaim, o Cheresh. So from the context of the pasuk, it is very interesting what you say over here, is that there are three levels. There's peh, a mouth, then there is Elaine, and then there is Chayresh. Now the fact that it starts off with peh is obviously the worst. If a person doesn't even have a mouth, okay, there's a deformity in his mouth, that's the worst. The second worst is to be called an Elaim, does not have the ability to speak. The third, which is the lesser of the evils, is Cheresh. We're going in order. All right, let's go further. We'll see more how this comes together. The next translation, Yisparchon. What is the word Te'alamna? Te'alamna means to be crumbled, to be broken into little parts. Yispardu lipfeirurim, crumbs. Something should be crushed, crumbled into crumbs. Kimo da'at omar vihine anachnu me'alumim alumim. We were making bundles. We were in the fields. In the fields, Yosef is speaking about his dream. He's telling us what I had a dream. What was my dream? We were collecting individual stalks of grain and bringing them together into a bundle. So, in the context of this pasuk, when it says te'olamna, we always have this principle that a word goes 180 degrees. In the word me'alumim means to take little pieces, little individual strands, and make one unit. When you manipulate the vowels of a word, you go 180 degrees, and it means to take something which is one bundle, and to separate into little teeny parts. The word me'alumim, or patach, alumim means to take individual items and make one mass out of it. In our pasuk, it says, doesn't say me'alumim, te'or, a patach, and a komas under the ayin, under the aleph, and a patach under the lamed. It's the other way around. Te'olamna, the anachnu ma'alma alumim, which means the other way around, is to go and to crush them, to take these wicked people and to smash them, to crush them, put them into a grinder and turn them into dust. The third word of the word te'olamna, yish, Datkon, silence. Silence them. What does that mean? Let's see. Kishmu'o. Hadoivos al tzaddik osik. Those who speak about the tzaddik osik lies. Hadoivos. Okay, then he's going into the next part of the pasuk. So what is the difference between the first translation and the second? The first is there should be a cheresh. Let's go back 1 second. We have here, go back to the beginning, the third line in this Likutei Shas. The third white line. Rav says, it says in the pasuk, Te'olamna Sifsei Shaker. This Chazal is telling us there are three translations for the word Te'olamna. Either it means Hashem should make them into a cheresh. No, that's the third word. Let's see. The first word is Yischarshon. And what does it mean, Yischarshon? Misam Pe'al Ma'isim Ilein Oy Cheresh. The Ilein Yoseh, the word over here is an Ilein. So an Elaim is not a Cheresh.
No.
An Elaim is Te'olamna. They do not have the ability
mute.
To speak.
They are mute.
Mute. Mute them. Take away their ability to speak. Then the second translation is crush them. Okay. And the third translation, he says, is Yishtatkan, silence them. Now that's different. It doesn't mean take away their ability. Just do not allow the words to come forth. They have the ability to speak. They have the ability, the tools necessary for them to express themselves. Mm. But Hashem, silence them. Just force them to be quiet. Put a muzzle on them.
Cut the mic.
Something along that. Three words. Yischarshon. They should become Elaimim. Take away their vocal cords. Take away their ability to speak. Second word is Yisparchon, the third one Yishtatkon is silence. Sheket bevakasha. Silence them. Three different translations. Okay, one word, three different translations. Then he goes further to Al Tzadik Osok. So we translated that the word Tzadik refers to the Tzadikim in this world, human beings. Human beings who are righteous. And what do these wicked people do? They speak upon the righteous people, they speak about them lies. Along come Chazal, and it says, Hadoivos al tzaddik osok, Hadoivos al tzaddikoy shel olam. When it says here, the word tzaddik refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do they say? Dvarim shehetik mibriyosav, that he has concealed, shehelim, concealment. Another translation. What does that mean? Begayv avavuz, They speak about the tzaddikoi shel olam, things which Hashem dvarim shehetik, which he translates here in the brackets, which Hashem has concealed mibriyo yisaf. Begadol vavuz, what does that mean? Zehu miskol lemar ani doresh b'maisa bereshis. That's what it means. It means over here things. It means the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be doresh in maisa bereshis. The reason why the Torah begins with the letter base, okay, the letter base is positioned in such a way where anything to the right is cut off. And the letter, what's that noise?
Somebody's playing a radio.
Outside?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
We have the letter base is a letter where on the right side is completely blocked off.
Like a closed parenthesis.
It's closed. Why is it like that? Why did Hashem begin this with the letter base to indicate it's. To indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling men, do not. Delve into what existed in this world before Ma'aseh Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elokim Hashemayim v'Haaretz. That is what you need to know. You start your knowledge, your quest for knowledge begins with Ma'aseh Bereishis. What was Lifnim, and what will be at the very, very end after this world achieves its purpose? That's none of your business. So this is called these are called the things which have been hidden from this world by whom? By Hashem. Tzaddik refers to Hashem. Hashem, he revealed what he wants to reveal, and he has concealed what he wants to conceal. And therefore, a person who explores in public the secrets of this world, it's not proper. That is how Chazal interpreted this pasuk. Hadoyver is al tzaddikoi shel olam dvarim she'etik, that he has concealed mibriyosa. What does that mean? The guy who rules with arrogance. Zer shehu miskoya loymar. This person is arrogant to say, Ani doyresh b'maisa bereshis. I am going to explore maisa bereshis. Sover shehu kimigoeh ve'ena ela kimivazeh. He, this person, and he's saying really another principle over here. He's saying all these three, two words that come together. Gaiva v'vuz. He thinks that he's going to elevate himself by revealing secrets that no one else knows. The truth is, he's just embarrassing himself. When a person tries to make himself very, very great in a way that's not correct, ultimately what he's just doing is he's humiliating himself. Another halacha. A person takes advantage of someone else's disgrace. A person that is mischabed in the honor of Hashem certainly has no chelik in the next world. One more time, these words. A person that elevates himself on the disgrace of his friend. A person honors himself with the honor of Hashem. Certainly has no reward in the next world. In other words, a person uses his Torah knowledge to his advantage to get ahead in this world, that's a disgrace. You're not allowed to benefit from Torah. Torah is Hashem's Torah. You're not allowed to go use Torah as a tool to lord over others. That's another idea. You use it as a tool to cause damage. But a person is not going to go, there's a very big Talmud Chacham, you know, I'm a very great Talmud Chacham, give me the first Aliyah. I go first, I don't have to pay, I'm special. Because I can take an exam on the whole Shas, I know Kol Torah Kula, and therefore I'm special. Other people can make you special, but you cannot make yourself special. And anyone that takes advantage of his accomplishments in the honor of Hashem, he's losing his in the next world. How do you know this? Because this Pasuk, Maksib Asrei, Ma mo rav tuvcha sher tzofanta liriyacha al yehi loy kama chelik b'rav tuvcha. This person will not have a chelik in the tuvcha Hatsafun Latsadikim Le'osit. So they're saying over here, so what we're doing over here, according to this Chazal, you're reading, you're connecting the two psukim together. You start by saying over here, Te'lam Le'osifse Sheker, may they be silenced. The Sifse Sheker, Hadoivos, who speak Al Tzadik Osok, okay, who speak about Hashem, Al Tzadik Hashem, Osok secrets. So I think what he's saying over here is that the secrets of Hashem is the Kvoide Shel Hashem. Hashem created this world and he revealed things, and there are things that he chose not to reveal. So there are things that are atik. Atik here means, according to this translation, it means they are concealed. A person that reveals these secrets, and by revealing these secrets, he has an asset that people want access to. You ever see these people, these non-Jewish people, they're obsessed with learning Kabbalah, okay? You have to know Kabbalah. You don't know the Aleph-Bays, but you take a course in Kabbalah. Why? Because if you know Kabbalah, you know all the secrets. You know how to make money. You know how to be successful. You know how to live forever. Excuse me, Kabbalah are the secrets of the world. It's not something that you go and you advertise and you promote and give courses in. You certainly don't know what you. So these people that are Hamiskoeh, they make believe that they know the Kabbalah, they know all the great secrets of this world. In the eyes of everyone who really knows what's going on, they're a bunch of idiots. Hamiskoeh, someone who has a school of Kabbalah, in the eyes of man, vavuz, they are the lowest of the low. What kind of nonsense is this? If you're really a mekubal, you would not hang up a shingle that everyone should come and give you money in order to learn all the secrets. So, and you think you know all the Kabbalah, and now you're using it to your advantage in order to get ahead in life and make a lot of money. For these people, they will not be part of what it says in the next pasuk, Ma Rav Tufcha Shert Safanta L'Reyecha. You guys who promote your knowledge of Hashem's secrets are not the L'Reyecha. And you in the next world will have nothing. You're forfeiting your chelik in the Olam Haba by revealing the atik of the tzaddik, thinking that they're going to gava, they're going to elevate themselves and get ahead in this world.
That's why the Gemara says you either get it or you don't. You can't teach it to somebody else. He has to be able to get it.
Exactly. So we have over here a lot of chidushim in this Maimon Chadlis and Yerushalmi. It really bangs in. You get a lot for what's the expression?
Bang
for your buck over here. A lot of, we have word Teolamna. Three translations. Either it means an Elaim. An Elaim has a physical impediment. Or it means Teolamna Miloshnov of Anachnu Ma'alumim Alumim. And we're going to manipulate the word Alumim to the word Olam. Instead of taking individual items and bringing them together into one unit, just the opposite. We're going to take these people and pulverize them into little crumbs. And the third interpretation means, just tell these people to be quiet. You don't have to go and cut out their vocal cords and do something to their physical being where they can no longer speak. Just tell them, quiet. Be quiet. The next chiddush is, what does it mean? Tzadik osok. The pshuta shel mikra is the people in this world, the people of Klal Yisrael who are tzadikim, they say about them lies. According to the Yerushalmi, the tzadik is the ribonoi shel olam. He is called the tzadikoi shel olam. And what does it mean, the word osok? Atik. Atik over here, he translates to mean secrets. That's what he translates. He translates shehetik, that have been put away, secrets. And what does the pasuk over here mean? These people who reveal Hashem's secrets, and they reveal it in public. For what purpose? To elevate themselves, to show the world, look how great I am. I know all these things, and no one else knows these things. So everyone should come on to them and need them. What they're really doing is, by revealing these secrets, they're making fools out of themselves. Vavus, they think they're ga'ava, that they're elevating themselves to dominate over the rest of the world. The truth is, they're a bunch of idiots. They're a vuz. And what are the consequences? the consequences are they're not part of the team of Lireyecha, and thus they are not going to merit the tov that has been sofun for the Reyech. That is, in a nutshell, what it says here in the Yerushalmi. Let's go to another Chazal, and then we'll have to just on the head. Marvtiv Chasher Tzvan Loyecha, the next Pasuk Chof, Asher Tzvanta Loyecha, Pa'alto, Lachay Simbach, Negev Bnei Adam. Hanu Tzrei Talmidah Havi Yasek HaMeid Rava. The two students. Chanam once, Chanam Aluhu, Akri Yun Bechalmai. I had a dream last night. And in the dream, the Tsar of the Chalimites, the Baal HaChalimites, read me a Pasuk. He grew me Bechalim Yes a Pasuk. Ma Rav Tufcha Asher Tzvanta Loyecha. V'chad Omar Lei. And the other one said, Akri Yun Bechalmai. The other one said, I had a dream that they will rejoice in you, all those that seek refuge in you, they will exult in you. Two dreams, and each dream the psukim are very similar. One person had read in their dream, it was read, the pasuk over here, what we learned today, and the other student, they read a pasuk that's very similar. By the way, before you go further, it's very interesting what a real dream is. How Chazal, and we have dreams, we have these very, all these fantasies in our mind, what's really going on. When Chazal talk about dreams, very often they talk about their dreaming, and a malach comes, opens up a book, and reads a pasuk. Okay, that's the dreams of the Gemara. There are other types of dreams, but this is a category that's very, very common. Very common. What is a dream? I was sleeping, and someone came, opened up the book, and read me a pasuk. That's the dream. No idea. A dream is lower than Ruach HaKodesh. There are many different ways to communicate. You can have Sprint, you can have AT&T, Verizon, Metro PCS. There are many different types of service providers. Originally, there was prophecy. Moshe was aslak Maria Hamira. Moshe, when he had prophecy, he was standing vertical with his eyes opened. Then came the prophets that were not so as great. They were horizontal and their eyes were closed and Hashem spoke to them. And then when Nevuah came to them, there's a basco. And then there are dreams. And what do you say? The people have dreams. Then you're right, you need someone to interpret the dream. But these are all different forms of communication. Many different types of forms of communication.
Before Moshe, the Avos also had
when they were awake, in an awakened state.
That's why by the Akedah, the Malach had to speak, because Abraham was alive with a knife in his hand, so it was horrible.
Could not speak, a Barzil. Wow.
So the Malach spoke to him.
Is a Macheles metal, not necessarily.
But still, he was getting ready for the street.
He was using a dangerous tool. Yeah. So it says over here, so therefore they have this is an interesting thing to note. And that when the Gemara speaks about dreams, even the Perek HaRoyim, Brachos, a lot of it is psukim. A person is sleeping, and in the dream, there is a malach reading a pasuk. It changed the whole dynamics of the Megillah, because that's exactly what happened to Achashverosh when he was semi-awake, right? Achashverosh, Balayla hu nodido shenas hamelach, Vayomer, and he said they should read in front of him. So what is he doing? He's lying in his bed, he's trying to fall asleep. I don't know, what does it mean? Is he in a semi-state of subconsciousness? What? Achashverosh had a dream? Right, it says in the Medrash. They're trying to kill him.
Yeah,
all
he's
different.
Paranoid.
He's paranoid.
And then when Haman walked in, he was on guard.
But you see, his children, what do they teach you about Achashverosh? He couldn't fall asleep. So they brought in the most boring person in the world, right? The most boring person to go read from the Chronicles, to go read from Persian history books. Boring as can, it's so boring, it's guaranteed to put him to sleep. So what exactly happened? So his children, they tell you, so they brought in someone to read, and the Malach kept on turning to a certain page, and Paro was fully awake. I mean, Achashverosh is fully awake, and they're reading boring stories to put him to sleep. It wasn't so boring, the story, because the story reminded Achashverosh, they're on the spot, oh, that big son of Viserys should try to kill me, and I did not go and pay back Mordechai. So the way they taught us this in kindergarten is, Achashverosh was wide awake, and it was actually very interesting, the story. It defeated the purpose. The whole reason why they brought in the person to go read was because they wanted to put him to sleep. It should be boring. It wasn't so boring. It was very interesting. But that's not necessarily the correct pshat. It's possible that the pshat is he actually did doze off into a semi-state of unconsciousness. And while he was in that state, he was still here. It was exactly what happens in a real dream, but being that Achashverosh wasn't roi for a real dream, it was done in a way that resembled a divine communication. Let's explain. What is the divine communication that we have left? We don't have anything left today. But on the lowest level, okay, there's no nevuah, there's no baskol. So what? A dream. What is a dream? I'm sleeping. I'm out. And in my dream, there's a person or a malach that opens up a book and he reads a pasuk, like in this piece of Gemara, Mo Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzofanto Lireyecha. You see the malach reading this pasuk. Now you wake up. The alarm clock goes off. You wake up. Wow, I had a dream, and in the dream it was a malach Elohim reading to me this pasuk. Paro was not raw. Achashverosh was not deserving that a malach should come to him and read a pasuk. He wasn't worthy for two counts. He wasn't worthy of a malach should come to him. Number two, sheikitz, it's not raw that you should read a pasuk. It's a bezoyin for the Torah Kedosha, for that words of holiness should be read to a goy. So the two reasons why Hashem wanted to communicate with Achashverosh, a divine communication. How is Hashem going to communicate with a goy, with a sheikitz? How is Hashem going to communicate with him?
He did it with Bilam.
Bilam was different. Bilam was the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a different era. We're dealing over here at during the Churban Bayis. The Churban Bayis Rishon.
Through dreams with non-Jews.
Where? Okay, that's in the Torah. We're dealing over here at an era after the Churban Bayis Rishon. We're dealing in Persia, in Shushan HaBira. We're dealing in an entirely different era where Klal Yisrael is in Golos, the Shekhinah is not in this world, and Hashem wants to come to a goy in a dream.
Rabbi, we hear these stories about, and some of them must be true, but the Baba Chirevi about Rav Chaim.
Let's focus on this thing. I don't know anything about dreams and communicate. I just want to give it throughout an idea.
I mean, it still must exist today.
100%. People will swear, 100%, I'm not coming to deny that, but let's just focus on this concept. When we talk about a dream, what?
He dreamt of Sefer HaZecharias, he didn't dream of a pasuk.
Well, let's explain that. Exactly the point. Let's focus on this point. The way dreams are presented often in Chazal are, person's unconscious, he's in this meditative state, and a malach appears. And the malach reads a pasuk. And then the person wakes up. That's exactly what it says here in this story. And in the Gemara, throughout Shas and Midrashim, very common to have these type of dreams. We romanticize dreams today. A dream, it has to be a story. It has to be a whole story, a fantasy. I went on a trip, and I met this person and that person. And what does this mean? You have to get the dream interpreted. I'm not denying that. That's absolutely true. But it's also absolutely true that very often in Chazal, a dream, a Jewish dream, doesn't have all the smoke and mirrors and the multimedia presentation that we fantasize in the 21st century. The dreams are very, very dry. I'm sleeping, nothing is going on, and all of a sudden, there's a person who reads, he's called the Baal HaChalom. The Baal HaChalom, he looks just like Meir. The Baal HaChalom, he comes to you in the dream, and he comes with a Tanakh. He comes with a Tanakh, and he opens up the Tanakh, and he says, let me find a good pasuk for you. Ah, I got the pasuk I'm looking for. Mo Rav Tufcha Shertzafanto Liliecha. Bye-bye, he's gone. And you remain sleeping the whole night, and you wake up in the morning, oh, they read that pasuk. So what does that pasuk mean? The other fellow had another pasuk which was very, very similar. Okay, that's what a dream is. Now let's go to Achashverosh. Achashverosh, is he deserving that Meir should come to him in a dream? Not exactly. Okay? Is he deserving? He's not deserving that a Malach should come to him in a dream. Number two, even if a Malach would come to him in a dream, is Achashverosh deserving that a Malach should read a pasuk in the Torah, a pasuk in Tanakh to Achashverosh? Does he deserve such a thing? This guy is with Noshim every single day. I mean, what kind of guys are Baal Taiva? We never heard of before. We never even knew so they existed, such a person. No way! But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate with him in some form. So this is basically, it's like an imitation dream. Achashverosh, this is not the version of what they teach you in kindergarten. Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep. They had professionals who know how to get you to sleep. And they bring in these boring people and they start reading. And they probably read with a certain, you know, these hypnotists. You ever see hypnotists in action? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I once went to an entertainment show, hypnotist. He put out people. I could not believe what this guy did. And I was watching him very carefully. And I felt like being drawn in. And I don't want to be hypnotized. I diverted, but I saw my own eyes the power. I mamish felt being pulled in, and he did it to a couple of people, and what they said under hypnosis is just not to be. You got to go to the real professionals. And what I learned is, what one of the main koiches of these professionals is, it's they have a tone in their voice. They have a frequency in their voice that connects to your brain that shuts it off. It's amazing, amazing science. Trust the science. It's amazing what these people can do. You have to be very, very skilled. You have to have certain physical abilities with certain tones, how it affects the brain. It's unbelievable. But in any event, the way they tell you the story in kindergarten is that the Malach put Achashverosh to, read the book and he was wide awake. No. The people who came into Achashverosh were professionals. They put him to sleep. He was asleep. And now, for whatever reason, to finish up the job, they were reading. They wanted to keep him asleep. And they were reading to him from this book. And the Malach came, the whole story. They read the story of Big Son of Aseresh. So Achashverosh was sleeping. And the people who were reading, they were equivalent to the Baal HaChalom. And what they were reading, it wasn't a pasuk, but it was in the Sifrei HaZichronos. It has all of the characteristics of a divine communication without sanctity. You're sleeping. There's a Baal HaChalom who is reading a pasuk. So if you're holy, you're a holy Jew, you're sleeping, and the Baal HaChalom comes to you in your state of unconsciousness and tells you the pasuk you need to hear. If you're not Jewish, and you're not deserving of that sanctity, you're sleeping, and Hashem arranges for a human being to be the equivalent of the Baal HaChalom and to read to you from the New York Times what you need to hear. But it has, why is this necessary? It is a divine message. It's not just coincidence. We look at, see, it changes the dynamics of the Megillah. We look at the Megillah, you know, everything's a coincidence. No question about that. No question about that. But this was a communication. When Ahasuerus felt, couldn't fall asleep. Question, did he fall asleep? Did he actually fall asleep? Doesn't say. If you want to learn that the story was a divine communication like a chaloim, then he fell asleep while he was sleeping. The Baal HaChaloim, which was the person, he was speaking and he was relating to him what it says from the Zichronos. That surah of being asleep and someone reading to you and it's seeping into your subconscious is equivalent to a divine communication. Hashem was giving him a message. You better get Mordechai now. Get Mordechai involved in the story. That changed the whole Megillah. It changed the whole Megillah. Hashem was actively involved, not just through coincidence, but Hashem actually was speaking to Ahasuerus through a chaloim. What kind of chaloim? Not the chaloim of our chaloim, but a different level of a chaloim. All right, we are out of time, over time. In fact, we have to stop over here. Tomorrow, we're going to move on. Okay, tomorrow there's a lot more to do, but unfortunately, I want to move on because we have to finish up. Baruch Hashem, ki hifli v'chaste, tomorrow, Pasuk HaBeis. Okay, for the... I have to take
a couple of weeks ago.
What?
I was at my doctor a couple of weeks ago, and after the thing in his office, he dictates notes. He's been now the computer is
physical. Right, right. I was required to do that many years ago. 15 years ago, I worked for a doctor. And the next thing you do is to get the doctors to speak into a tape recorder.
Right. And he said the first thing is they get an hour or two, we have to prep the software. And then as you're reading along, if it doesn't understand a word, you spell it out, and then it learns. Now you see now on the phone for deaf people to have where you can speak and it's hinting in their
There's a lot going on there. The technology has advanced lightness.
One day we'll be able to meet you.
I was supposed to practice that they take every single shura and they put it through the computer and they basically convert it into text. And it's pretty good. We need to turn also, and therefore when the
they do Aramaic and Hebrew and everything.
Yeah. They really do. Really.
How do they know when it switches over?
This technology is so advanced, you wouldn't believe it. And then, what's the advantage? Someone types, I want to hear a shiur about some essence on top. And it says, so right away it says, this shiur at minute 26 and 10 seconds, this rabbi talks about that topic. Because every single shear is converted.
Well, one thing, when it's digitized, you can do that. Right. If it's not digitized, just scanned, you can't do that.
The government, during COVID, they do take these patients not in the hospital. They have to. So they did a lot.
Right.
So some of the doctors were going against the policy of the hospital. Everything is critical. And protocol has weaknesses. And there were some doctors that disagreed with some of the decisions of the hospital. And patients' expressions, the doctor said, take this medicine, don't take this medicine. And the hospital is very upset because we've been losing money. We're losing money because the doctors were renegades. So the hospital made a policy. Every single Zoom session, you must turn on the first half of the show. Where it automatically converts your speech into text.
And then someone can scan.
And then they scan. They just type in the keyword and find who is in violation, which doctor is in violation of our house.
So I find this with Waze all the time. I tell people, if you know the neighborhood where you go, use Waze to be more efficient. sometimes you have to overrule Waze. Waze, I said, when I take, go out to West Hempstead, the Waze is always taking me off the belt, and I tell my wife, it's not worth it 5 or 10 minutes to zigzag through all those labels. Just stay on and wait for 10 extra minutes. Just keep your eye on the car in front of you and not get crazy.
So they know what you're doing. They know, Waze knows, we told this guy to go this crazy way. Give us stuff. And they see and they calculate how much time you're taking to get there. Maybe you were right. And how many times did you stop? How miles an hour? And they have an algorithm. Did you, by not listening to us,
I'm doing better,
had a more pleasant experience?
Definitely.
And then when the next guy types in something similar to your address,
yeah,
they take what you did into consideration. How do we program? Is that amazing?
I know.
Unbelievable. It's learning. It knows how it learns. Unbelievable.
You want to move on tomorrow, but I was going to suggest it. Short Maharal.
Okay, so okay, I'll look it over.
You should look at
okay,
that.
Okay.
Rabbi, so let's begin. Rabbi Sai, let us begin. Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's begin.